الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون صدق الله العظيم. We begin with the praise of Allah. We praise Him. We thank Him. We seek His forgiveness. We seek His guidance. Whoever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whoever Allah leaves astray, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the last and final messenger of Allah. Peace be upon him, upon his blessed family, his companions, and all those who follow him until the end of time. More than 200 years ago, there was a young man who lived in Senegal in West Africa by the name of Omar bin Said. This young man belonged to a wealthy family. He had education. He was about 25 years old. Was trained in Islamic sciences. And it so happened that around the year 1807, he was kidnapped from his hometown, sold to slave traders, shipped across the Atlantic Ocean, and then sent to South Carolina, where he joined, where he was forcibly enslaved at a slave owner's plantation in South Carolina. And so, as you know, this was the time of the Atlantic slave trade. This was common, where people from Africa were captured, kidnapped, sold, shipped in cruel and inhumane conditions back to the Americas, including the United States, where they were forcibly enslaved and forced to work in dire conditions of labor for their white slave owners. And it so happened that the first owner that this Omar bin Said encountered was very cruel and very harsh towards him. And Omar bin Said had to escape. He fled the plantation. He took refuge at a church somewhere. And that's where he was caught again. And he was sent to a jail. From there, he was sent to a different owner. And with that owner, the person recognized that this was a person of learning, of ability. And so with him, Omar bin Said stayed for the rest of his life until he passed away in around 1864. So Amr bin Said spent almost 60 years as a slave in America, working with no liberty, no freedom of religion. He was forcibly, of course, converted to Christianity and cut away from his homeland, from his family, from the mosque, from the masjid, from any freedom of religion, and forcibly converted into Christianity. You would think that, you know, someone like him, after 60 years, would have lost his commitment to Islam, would have lost his faith, would have lost his, would have forgotten maybe just by sheer virtue of time passing his religious teachings, his Islamic background, his training in Arabic, in the Islamic sciences, and so forth. But from the documents that we have from Umar bin Said, and he was an interesting case because he could write, he was literate, so he wrote a lot. And we also learned that he continued to write in Arabic, not just in English, but in Arabic as well, for the remainder of his time, for his 60 years as a slave here in America. And one of the documents we have is from towards the end of his life, when he was in his late 80s, early 90s, and he wrote in Arabic, and what he actually wrote was very interesting. He wrote Surah An-Nasr. It's a very interesting choice. You can imagine someone who's lived as a slave, as a captive, for 60 years, forcibly, you know, worshipping in outwards, you know, Christianity, chooses to write Surah An-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ رَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. When the victory and the help of Allah comes, and you see the people entering to Islam by droves and waves and so forth. So it's an inspiring, story, the fact that he was able to maintain his Islam, he's able to maintain his commitment, he's able to continue to memorize, or to continue to recite and rehearse these verses from the Quran, even after these long years cut away from his homeland, from his community, from his religious books and so forth. And Umar bin Said was not an anomaly in this. There were thousands, maybe around 600,000 to a million Muslim slaves here in the Americas. And many of them maintained their prayers. They were amongst the first to pray, to establish salah in this land, to have Ramadan, to fast in these lands, sometimes in secretly in very dire conditions, hiding it from their masters and slave owners that sort of controlled them in their lives. And this, in this for us, is a lesson from our predecessors here in this land, that how does one manage to maintain their faith? How does one manage to persevere? How does one manage to remain steadfast in their religion despite all these obstacles and challenges that one has? And this is something that we need to reflect on ourselves. In this day and age, we have our own challenges, of whether it be new isms, new ideologies, that challenge us, that tell us that our religion, our morals, our ethics are outdated, are no longer relevant, are no longer good enough for us, or there are new distractions that take away our attention, our ability to focus, to worship, to concentrate on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have difficulties. We also face challenges in remaining steadfast with the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's a hadith, a famous hadith, that's Imam Nawawi includes in his collection of 40 hadith. And this is a hadith that a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, Ya Rasulullah, قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك. O Messenger of Allah, tell me something about Islam that I will not need to ask anyone else about this. In other words, tell me something about Islam that if I practice it and act upon it, then I'd have no need to ask anyone else besides you about this. And this is a very penetrating question, very comprehensive question. You could think that, you know, an answer to that question might entail listing out, these are the obligations, these are the prohibitions, these are the duties, these are the rights of believers in Islam, this is a comprehensive outlook. But the Prophet ﷺ was blessed with the ability of Jawami' al-Kalim, with the conciseness of speech, where in a few words he could convey oceans of meaning. Just a few words would suffice and, you know, contain vast possibilities of meaning. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? قال قل آمنت بالله ثم استقيم. Say, I believe in Allah, and then remain steadfast. Have istiqamah. So this gets us to the topic, the crux of the khutbah. And there are many, you know, There are many sort of interpretations, there are many volumes of commentary that can be written about this saying. And if we take the first saying, قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, the first part, I believe in Allah. In modern day, you know, modern day conditions, when you think of belief, it's a very weak affair. It is something that is private, that is individual, that is subjective. Something that we believe we do in the corner of our house, in our homes, we don't bring out to the public sphere. It is something that's not, you know, constructed necessarily in any rational terms, in any, you know, firm grounding. It is just something individual and specific to a person, and it could waver in strength and in commitment. But that is not what amantu billah means. That is not what having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. Having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has multiple meanings. It's much more complex than that. As Allama Iqbal, in one of his books, The Reconstruction of Religious Thought in Islam, he wrote, "Religion is not a departmental affair. It is neither mere thought, nor mere feeling, nor mere action. It is an expression of the whole man." And some of the commentators mentioned the different levels of iman, that there's iman with the tongue that we say, we outwardly profess that we believe in Allah. Then there is the iman that comes from the heart and the tongue, that we believe it in our hearts, that we are convinced in our hearts in Allah. And then there is the iman that encompasses the whole body, the tongue, the heart, all the limbs of the body. And it echoes in a way, it is an expression of the whole man. It is an expression of our whole being. And one of the images that comes to mind when you think about this is the story of Bilal radiallahu anhu, who was being tortured in the hot, blazing sun in Mecca, being dragged along, placed, having heavy boulders placed on him, and he was saying, Ahad, Ahad. That Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one. It wasn't just a simple, like, you know, private, subjective, individual experience that he had his own, you know, that's subject to, you know, it's further deliberation. But it was something that was concrete. It was something that he believed and he testified in with the whole of his entire body under the blazing sun with boulders upon him saying, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one. And that is something, that is the ultimate level of iman, where we testify our whole core, our whole being, our reason of why we are what we are, who we are, and what we do. All of that has a relationship, all of that is based in iman. And so when you take, and iman is the basis of our existence, the purpose of our lives. It is not something that is just, you know, furniture that is passed on from parent to child that we can throw out if we feel is outdated, if it feels needs some refurbishing. It is something that we have to actively build ourselves for ourselves, that we have our faith and we have our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we believe it from the depths of our being, from the core of our hearts, from the extremities of our bodies. We believe it in every single way, and it consumes our entire life, our being. We come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him do we return. And so there's a lot we can mention about this, and it underscores also the importance of having aqidah, of studying aqidah, a sound creed, a sound theology, of knowing what we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes, and the messengers, and the books, and the angels, and the day of judgment, and predestination and decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having a sound flooring, having a sound foundation in this, because this aqidah, this belief, this forms the backbone, this forms the bedrock, which can enable us to withstand all the obstacles in life, which enabled people like Umar bin Sa'id to withstand 60 years of enslavement, of forcible conversion to Christianity, and working without any access to any Muslim community or source of support. That is the bedrock of our iman, and that is what we mean, قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, say, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have the second part of this hadith, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيم, and then be firm, be steadfast. There are many meanings of istiqama that are mentioned by the scholars. Istiqama means to hold fast to something, to act faithfully in a particular way, to go straight. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيم, guide us to the straight path as we pray every single day. Istiqama is to do something without deviation, without extremes, in a moderate way, in a balanced way, that is done in the right direction. And so there are many meanings that the scholars of tafsir also elucidate as it comes in the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, those who say that, declare that Allah is our Lord, and then are steadfast, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Upon them there will be no fear and no grief, and they will be from the companions of paradise, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, to abide therein forever, for eternity, as a reward for what they used to do, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And so the scholars of tafsir take apart this word, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. So one meaning is الاستقامة على التوحيد الخالص, to persist, to have perseverance in tawheed, in pure tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, not to change religions, not to associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After we believe, we come to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the core of our beings, we do not associate any partners with Him, no matter what the pressures are in society. Another meaning is istiqamu fi'lan kama istiqamu qawlan, to have steadfastness in action, in practice, just as they had action in saying, in their words. So in other words, just as they say Allah is our Lord, they make that a reality in their lives. They make that a reality of their actions, of their habits, and so forth. And they close the gap between what they claim and what they actually practice in reality. وَاسْتَقَامُوا سِرًّا كَمَا اسْتَقَامُوا جَهْرًا. And they are steadfast in secret as they are steadfast in public, in open. And this gets to the level of sincerity, that we are steadfast with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we remain connected to Him, we know that our hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of where we are, regardless of the conditions, whether we are all alone at home, or whether we are in college with our friends, away from our parents, or whether we are co-workers, away from our families. Wherever we are in the world, we are wandering around, whether we are home, we are steadfast. We are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتَقَامُوا بَاطِنًا كَمَا اسْتَقَامُوا ظَاهِرًا. And they are steadfast in their interior reality, in their hearts, in their emotions, in their inward self, as they are steadfast in the outward self. And this gets us also to the world of the hearts. You know, many times we focus on laws and regulations that, you know, we have to perform these actions, we have to take upon these rights, we have to fulfill these things. But we also have to focus upon our hearts, upon the inward self, the batin. Because Sharia encompasses all of that, the zahir and the batin. And so an example of this is when we pray. So many of us, inshallah, pray five times a day. And as we pray, we may, you know, it might get repetitive, it might get continuous, we might pray without much thought, without focus. So istiqamu batlan, to have that steadfastness in concentration, in focus, in our heart's presence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we pray, as we maintain the five daily prayers. Istiqamu ala infirad al-qalbi billah. And this is a very interesting way to put it. They are steadfast in making the heart in solitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dedicating the heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just taking some time out. You know, we are coming from Allah, all of us, and all of us are returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much time do we actually put just to have our hearts connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just alone, cut off from all other distractions? That is something that is supremely important. And many times people have a misgiving that, you know, to dedicate your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that you must renounce the world, you must renounce your family, your job, your career, go to retire in a cave somewhere and just meditate. But that is not the way of Islam. That is not the way of the believer. There is no monasticism in Islam. Istiqamu ala infirad al-qalbi billah, to make the heart solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, solely connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means to remove all the other distractions, all the other pulls and tugs we have in our hearts, our love for this world, our love for fame, our love for wealth, our love for riches, for beauty, for different aspects of this world, our love for our nafs, our ego, to remove that from our heart and to dedicate the heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are in this world, we are active, we are engaged, but we don't let that, we don't let our wealth, we don't let our jobs get to our heart. Because that is the ultimate place where we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an important undertaking. And another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "Shaybatni Hud," that the Surah Hud has aged me, has made me older, has, you know, because of its, you know, severe concern, pointing to the ayah, "Fastaqim kama umirt," remain steadfast as you have been commanded to. You know, fulfill your rights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to think about this as well. We have, you know, rights upon our families, our bodies, and so forth. We also have a right upon Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a right upon us. And we must fulfill, we must work and strive and think about ways to fulfill those. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have istiqamah, to remain steadfast and persevere in His path. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So what are some ways in which we can build istiqamah, build that quality of perseverance, of steadfastness in our lives? And one of the ways that we learn from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is to build good habits, to build consistency. And this is a hadith that should give us a lot of encouragement and motivation. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The most beloved of actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the most consistent, the most persistent, the ones done with most consistency, even if they are little. And so many times we think, you know, especially when we are like in the zone, we get into the sort of the flow, and we think that we have to do great things. We have to achieve, you know, prayer of such a variety, or, you know, reading Quran to such a great length, or, you know, fasting, or doing just great deeds, because greatness is what allures us. It has its own temptation to us. And so even, you know, in the world of fitness, for instance, you have people who haven't, you know, worked out for a long time, or they're athletic, and then they might join a boot camp or a program where they begin to work out and they begin to feel some gains, they feel excited about it, they feel happy, they feel proud, and they work at it really hard. But a few weeks later, a few months later, they're back to the original status where they started, and they've given it up because it was just unsustainable. And so this is a danger of doing too much. Our goal is not to do so much that we feel happy about ourselves. Our goal isn't to just, you know, build a sense of self-accomplishment. That might come and that might be nice to have, but ultimately our goal is to do something sustainable, because our goal is to be consistent with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our goal isn't to do grand things, but to remain consistent with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our lives. So we must, you know, cultivate some habits, something that we do every single day. It might be something small, just reading Quran for 5 minutes, for 2 minutes, you know, every morning or every night. And it is important not to belittle any good deed. As the Prophet ﷺ has told us, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Do not belittle in any way any good deed, even if it is just meeting your brother with a smiling, with a cheerful face. And so that is something that we should never think that any good deed is too little for us. Any good deed is too little to start a habit with. We start slow, we take baby steps, we take one foot in front of the other, and we progress with that, and we gradually build upon that. But to try to go from the top and do something, you know, great is something that is not sustainable in the long run. And another danger that we have is that when we are at our lows, when we are feeling down, when we're feeling depressed, sometimes we feel like we're not good enough. We are not, you know, who am I to go into the masjid in prayer? Or who am I to go and give some charity, or to attend this function, or to engage in this goodness? I'm someone who sins in X, Y, Z ways. I'm someone who is caught up in so much wrong. Who am I to, you know, have any good, to do any good in my life? And that is a danger from the shaitan as well. We are not, no good deed is too little for us, and no good deed is too high for us. We have to, no matter where we are in life, keep a window open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we're feeling dark, we're feeling depressed, we're feeling like there's no way I can be a good person, there's no way I can have control over myself, over my life, and have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must keep that window open, allow that small ray of sunlight to come in. And that, inshallah, will be the anchor that will hold us and that will allow us to progress and move on beyond that. Another thing to remember about habits is to have a habit that you do in secret, that you do something that only you know and no one else in your family, in your friends, amongst your anybody in the whole world knows. Only you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know about it. And that is something that will help build sincerity and consistency as well. And another thing is to think about patterns. Oftentimes, as human beings, we act in patterns. Our behaviors, there are triggers that we have, or some things that we know will get us angry, some things that we know will get us happy. You know, think about it. What are the times, what are the conditions when you are the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are the people that when you are with, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who are the people, and what are the conditions that when you are in, you feel most distant, you feel away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think about those patterns. These are often not just accidents, they happen repeatedly. And once we can understand our patterns, step back and look at it, we can have greater control over our habits and over our persistency. And part of, you know, the power of doing, you know, of good habits, you know, along with it comes the destruction of bad habits. So in the same way that we are maintaining good habits, that we are trying to build some regimen, some routine of goodness in our lives, we have to also be careful to break away bad habits. And of course, these can range from, you know, addictions of clinical varieties to, you know, more benign habits that we feel aren't that bad and so forth. But in this area, we must also focus on cutting down distractions, including especially social media and consuming media content, whether on television, the internet, and so forth. Because these things, they are designed to grip our attention. They're designed to steal away our focus. It so happens that even with myself, that for instance, if you're walking to prayer and the salah is already starting, we're still sending that last message text to a friend because we're just so consumed, so connected to our friends, to our devices. And as soon as the imam says salam, immediately the phone comes out of the pocket. There's no stop to do dhikr. There is no pause for contemplation. We are connected in so many ways to our devices. And so to be intentional about them, have some kind of control over what we do with our social media and, you know, how we spend our time there. Another way is to build good company, companionship. We are not islands. We cannot do this alone. Individual willpower will fail us. Our willpower comes and goes. What we need is accountability, and what we need is routine. And accountability can come in this, in the form of friends, someone we can trust, we can confide in, we can tell, and we can trust, and they can help stop us if we are slipping away from what we know to be our best interest. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be persistent, to have this quality of just persevering in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know that every opportunity in life, whether good or bad, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so whether we are, you know, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a good thing, or whether we are practicing sabr in times of difficulty, everything comes from Allah, and so we are connected to Him in all times. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim 'ala 'abdika wa habibika Muhammad wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi wa 'ala man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin wa 'anna ma'ahum bi rahmatika ya akramal akramin wa ya arhamar rahimin. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا منهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم لذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استووا استقيموا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها حولا قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we'll be praying Salatul Janaza. So kindly stay for a few minutes. We have a request for dua for some people who are not well and also a number of people who passed away who are either members of the community or related to the members of the community. So please make dua for the health of Brother Lahwari Siba. Brother Muhammad Rafi, Brother Naqshuddin Momand, Brother Haysam Bundukchi, Brother Maqbool Ahmed Butt, Sister Saeeda Umar, Brother Mustafa Abdul Murti, and a baby Muhammad Haroon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them shifa. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Allahumma shfih mardana. Allahumma shfih mardana. Allahumma shfih at-tashafi la shafi illa anta. Shifaan la yughadiru suqma. Dua Maqfira for Brother Minhajuddin Nizami, Brother Muhammad Ajiha, Brother James Spencer, Brother Ghazi Mustafa, Brother Rasul Muhammad Tukhi, Brother Saeed Saeed, and 4-year-old Maryam Wagu passed away, daughter of Tanveer and Asia Wagu. Sister Zainab Bai Abdul Aziz, mother of our community member, Brother Salim Aziz, and Brother Muhammad Namankani, father of Hafiz Ibrahim Namankani, passed away in Medina. You may know Brother Namankani spent a few years with us, a wonderful brother, as a teacher of Quran. His father passed away in Medina. And Sister Khairun Nisa Fatani, mother of our community member, Sister Hina, Bakhrani and the mother-in-law of Brother Tawfiq Bakhrani. She passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her. Also, please make dua for Munawwar Khan, passed away last night in Chicago. And dua maghfirah for Brother Rashid Subhani. May Allah bless all of these people who passed away. Allahumma ighfir lahum ya Allah. Allahumma ighfir lahum wa rahmhum wa afihim wa afu anhum. Allahumma akrim nuzulahum wa sa'a mudkhalahum. Allahumma ighfir khatayahum bil ma'i wa thalj wa barad. Rabbi ighfir wa rahmhum wa anta khairur rahimin. Salatu janazah for Sister Khalid Ali. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her. Give her the place in Jannah. And give patience to her family. Our condolences to everyone. Her grandson Sabur Bhatti, inshallah, will lead the janaza prayer. Any other brothers from very immediate family want to be in the front area, please come. Please make straight lines.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Quick dua to end off with. Ya Allah, please grant us all the highest place in Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, please forgive the sins before the living and the dead. Ya Allah, please have mercy upon each person on the day of Akhirah. Ya Allah, please accept all our du'as and prayers. Ya Allah, please allow us all to enter Jannah and be reunited with our loved ones. Ya Allah, please accept all my grandma's du'as and prayers. Ya Allah, please show mercy upon my nano. Ya Allah, please let all her loved ones pass through this with ease. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, please allow my nana to be at sukoon. Ya Allah, you have taken away all her pain that she has suffered with. Ya Allah, please continue to accept all the du'as in the Quran we recite for her and the people that we have lost. Ya Allah, please continue to shower us with your blessings. Ya Allah, please allow us to inherit the teaching from the Prophet. Ya Allah, please grant my nana the highest place in Jannah. Ameen.